The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand,
Everybody, come take my hand. Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well today. If you want to give us a call during the show at some point, you can do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Oh, let me adjust this mic here for you.
All right, I think that's better now. I'm so sorry. Welcome to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. This beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at some point, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So yesterday we looked at the Progressive Liberal Party's first term in office under the Davis administration and looked at what they indicated, the Progressive Liberal Party indicated, were the achievements for the first year. And we essentially read the list of some 16 items, and we commented on the accuracy, as we perceive it, of the list, and then made some comments about what could be essentially pushbacks against the list. And so today I promised to look at it from my perspective, which is always a dangerous thing to do because people are so sensitive in these matters. Because, of course, if you love your party, as I expect that Progressive Liberal Party supporters do, and if you support the party, which means you may not be a member of the party, but you support the party, you don't want to hear anything other than good news about the party. And sometimes it's just not always good news, right? So that creates some kind of anxieties. Of course, if you don't like the Progressive Liberal Party, if you're opposed to the Progressive Liberal Party, then you are happy to hear what might not be favorables about the party. And if you hear favorables about the party, then you get upset too. But listen, I've been doing this show now for years. I've used my best judgments to comment on many things. Sometimes people are happy with me. Sometimes people are just irate with me. Some people think I'm a jackleg. Some people think I'm okay. Yeah, at the end of the day, I sleep very well at nights about these issues because I know I try always to be authentic and helpful and objective about what I do. So that's what you're going to get today. Like it, as they say, or don't like it, right? So let me start off by saying anyone who attempts to judge the totality of the Davis administration's performance on the basis of any one year in office is just not being realistic about how you can assess an entity that has 5 years in office based off of its 1 year. So we're just talking about the 1 year. Just the 1 year, right? So we're not trying to suggest this is the totality of it. And so who knows what next year will be and the year after that. The second thing I want to say is this. There are things a government has direct control over. Listen, if when it comes to these things, if they are done well or not well, you can put it squarely on their heads, period. I'm talking about they can't duck and dodge, can't blame nobody for it. It is essentially on you. Okay? That's on you. And then there are things that the government, a government, does not have direct control over. It has some control, but not direct control. So let me talk about some, let me talk just briefly about direct control that you could blame a government for or you could tribute a government for doing. First, a government has direct control over visioning, over its design and development of a vision for its governance. That ain't on nobody else. That's on Mr. Davis, our prime minister, and his colleagues. That's directly on them. So if the country has a clear vision or doesn't have a clear vision, that's on them. Period. All right? You agree with me? You have direct control over visioning. Secondly, you have direct control over communication. Nobody can communicate your messages about vision or planning or anything of that nature. No one can do it for you better than you. So you have direct control over communication. You have direct control. The government has direct control. Prime Minister Davis and his colleagues have direct control over strategy and planning. Period. You can't blame Dr. Minnis for strategy and planning. You can't blame Mr. Ingram, Mr. Salinden, or Christie. You can't blame Dorian. You can't blame. You have direct control over strategy and planning. Strategy is more flexible than planning because planning tends to have a little bit of rigidity attached to it. But strategy says, listen, in light of things having changed, here is the new approach. You have direct control over strategy and planning. The government has direct control over the execution of its strategies and plans. That's not about whether things intervene to interrupt, etc. That's irrelevant. How your strategies and plans are executed is on you as a government, on Prime Minister Pinling, the late, on Mr. Ingram, former, Mr. Christie, former, Mr. Dr. Minnis, former, now, Prime Minister Davis. That's on you. Execution of your strategies and plan. Listen to me now. Legislation is on you. You introduce the laws. You pass the laws. You enforce the laws. Legislation is on the government. So if you're looking for things you can commend the government for, in terms of totality of responsibility for, and things that you can critique the government for, legislation is one of them. Policy. Who else is responsible for policy, public policy? It's the government. It's Prime Minister Davis and his team. What is education policy? What is fiscal policy? What is social policy? What is immigration policy? That is squarely on the administration in power. Period. That is the thing the Constitution most gives control to the cabinet to do, to effect the policy, public policy of the country. That's squarely on the government. Financial operations of the government, revenue of the government, expenditure of the government, deficit of the government, surpluses of the government, borrowings of the government, that you can't blame nobody for that. You say, oh, but if the Menace administration didn't do this and the next thing, we wouldn't have to borrow this money. That's not true. Because you can decide, I'm going to cut expenditure to such a degree that I don't have to borrow. Yes, there are consequences to that, but it's on you. Every government has direct control over the government's finances. Public service performance and operations. That's on the government. No, yeah, people could do this and people could do that in the public service, but still, you have responsibility for the public service directly. Nobody else does. Ingram used to be prime minister. Christie used to be prime minister. Minnis used to be prime minister. But none of them could direct the public service anymore. You have responsibility for the public service. Direct control over the public service. Projects of the government. Public projects. No one else on planet Earth can go and build a public school other than with the say of the government, a public clinic, a public hospital, a public fire house, a public school. This is all government. You are directly, you say, but oh, they started the project. Yeah, but you have responsibility for the project. Now, that's direct control. You could stop it, you could start it, you could review it, you can modify it. And then finally, promotion of your own efforts. No one has more direct control over how you promote your own efforts than the government. So when we are really wanting to look at the government and judge its efforts, those things are the things that we can directly look at and say, you know what? You did a good job here, you didn't do a good job there, because you have direct control over those things. Here are things that the government doesn't really have direct control over. The economy. You could be the best government on the planet Earth and the economy can slunk. You could be the worst government on planet Earth and the economy can perform. The government does not have control over 80%+ of the resources in the economy of the Bahamas. And the performance thereof is... A government can have a devastating impact on the economy, mind you, through its policies, but it doesn't control the economy. No. Public order. Government doesn't have direct control over public order. So we could cuss the government for crime being what it is, good or bad. We can commend the government for crime being good. But the truth is, you could have the best government in the world and people could still decide to do stupidness, murder, rape, traffic violations, fraud, theft, these kinds of things. So the government doesn't have direct control over that. Over your culture. The government doesn't have direct control over your culture. Your culture is a dynamic, complex, full of variety thing emanating from many sources and forces, and the government doesn't have direct control over it. It can influence culture by its messaging, by its programs. It can influence it, but not direct control. Social outcome. Government doesn't have direct control over health issues, over family issues, over behavioral issues. It does not. It can have influence on those things, but not direct control. So when we are talking about reviewing the government of the Bahamas, we need to have some regard for what the government does have a direct control over and what it does not have a direct control over, even though you can make assessments of its conduct on the basis of both. So what you will see in my matrix of analyses of the first year is the incorporation of these direct and indirect controls that the government has. And I don't have 30 hours to go through this. So this is, you know, intended to be a dialogue of guidance, right? And so take it as that. So good, okay. So you can credit the government for good things that happen while it's governing, this is a point I want to make, versus you can credit it for the results obtained from efforts governing. Those are two different things. So, listen, we have to be fair. Some of us, because of our political biases, we are really unfair. So let me explain. If a good thing happens while a government is in office that the government did not directly contribute to, if the government takes credit for it, that's okay. Because if a bad thing happens while the government is in office, people generally are going to blame the government for that too. Not a hurricane, but crime going up. Government might not be responsible for it, but people will blame the government. So there are things the government will get credit for that happens, not because it did anything per se to make it happen, but because it happened while it was governing. So we will see that on the economy's front, right? With the greatest respect to the government of the Bahamas and anybody else who supports it. It is simply not factual to suggest that the economy of the Bahamas' growth as it now stands is a direct result of the efforts of the government of the Bahamas since the Davis administration was elected. That would be factually untrue. That there is a significant portion of what we are experiencing that was going to happen no matter who was there. At worst, a government would have gotten in the way of that, but would have had to be absolutely foolish to do so. But the Davis administration take it for the economy as it is. Absolutely. The Minnesota administration would have done so. Them's the breaks, right? But then there are things that happen that you can say the government did. For instance, VAT on many items is now 10% when it used to be 12%. You cannot say that was just happenstance. You can't just say that would have automatically happened anyway. No, that was a deliberate, intentional policy decision by the Davis administration. And if you believe that to be good, then that is to its credit, direct credit. So we need to be aware that you can't have your cake and eat it too. If a good thing happens under an administration, it will take credit for it and it may get credit for it. If a bad thing happens, it may not want to be charged with it, but it gonna be charged with it more likely than not, okay? All right, so let's look at the matrix. My assessments are based on valuations of fair, good, very good, and excellent. Okay, poor, where I see it, all right? Poor means you failed at the effort. Fair means you're doing a satisfactory job at the effort. Good means you're doing above average job, meaning, you know, some commendation should be had for that. Very good means you're doing an outstanding job moving the thing forward with great progress, right? Excellent, of course, means, listen, you're just knocking it out of the park. Let me say that in my evaluations, there are no excellence and there are no poor, okay? So let's look at the criteria. My criteria, politics, and I talked to you about that yesterday, meaning the activities associated with appealing to the broad public, governing, that means your governing efforts, your public relations, your pandering, your patronage, etc., right? And then there is governing. I don't use politics as a negative. I use positive politics without judgment. Governing meaning the activities associated with providing general direction and control of the government, whether that's policy, programs, projects, procedures, etc. And then I look at impact. What impact have you had in the last year on a number of areas? Okay. So let's look at the politics and what I say about politics. On politics, I give the government, the Davis administration, a very good. In terms of activities that appeal to the broad public, the Davis administration has been very good. How have they been very good? Well, the VAT reduction was a seller. I mean, there's no question. Nobody's going to run around going, oh, my God, they do reduce VAT. That's terrible. Nobody, not many people other than the international financial credit people, maybe. But generally speaking, Bahamian public, oh, love it. You reduce in VAT. Only thing is, they say, except why did you put the VAT up on those exempted items? That's the only but in the whole thing. So that was a good political governing activity, right? And then you look at relieving of additional restraints due to COVID-19. Whether that was the removing the curfew or actually carrying out the ending of the emergency powers or the testings or the travel visa, all of those things. Governing, good political moves. And on the score of politics, very good. Let me tell you something. Prime Minister Davis, I believe, is proving to be one of the more politically savvy prime ministers that we have had. He has adopted a keen posture of not offending, not insulting the Bahamian public, but doing things that tend to make them feel better about themselves, whether that's even his global presence is a good governing political move. It gives him a positive look, and he has gotten a great deal of global coverage for the country and for himself from it. All right. And so on the score of politics, very good. I mean, because excellent is so difficult to get, I wouldn't do an excellent yet, but it's really good. Right. So and to my mind, the politics has been the strongest component of the first year of the Progressive Liberal Party under the Davis administration. So politics, very good. On the governing, that's the activities associated with providing general direction and control of the government, I give the Davis administration a fair. Generally, overall. But I break it down in terms of the assets of governing that I look at. So for instance, on vision, I believe that the Davis administration has provided a fair vision for the country. And I say fair vision because you can extrapolate from the blueprint for change, from the speech from the throne, a vision. A somewhat of a vision for the country. But by no stretch of imagination has there been a distinct and clear vision that Bahamians have been able to grab hold of and say, yes, this is what my government is seeking to create for our country. I don't see that, frankly. I haven't seen that probably since Sir Lyndon was in office. Not vision, not that vision. Now, Mr. Christie had an opportunity at it when he prompted the National Development Plan, but he never adopted it because that vision could have been the vision, but that did not happen. So on vision, fair. On communicating its vision, the PLP's Davis administration's vision, I give them a good. Good. They do a good job at communicating their vision and speaking to the things they are doing. You see it. You may get ticked off with the press secretary and what have you, but listen to me, man, on social media, through the press conferences, through their interviews, they do a good job communicating their vision and work of government. So I give them a good there. On strategy, I give them a fair. Now, what do I mean by strategy? Strategy is a set of decisions that you make, that you adopt, that you embrace to affect your vision. Okay, these are very foundational decisions you have made that you decided, if made and pursued, would push you in a certain direction. And that's yeah, because quite frankly, you know, the articulation of the strategy hasn't been so clear, even though I could see some of it in the fiscal policies and the like. So, you know, there's not really a great deal of clarity there for me. So I had to give a fair. I can't say it's poor because I think you can see some strategy in what is being done. I think you can see that in the climate change push. You can see that in the carbon credit push. You can see that in the education push, and you can see that in the housing push. You can see some strategy there, so to suggest that there's none would, to my mind, be disingenuous. On policy, this is, remember now, we're talking about governing. So we're talking about governing you, and governing you vision, you communicate, you strategize. On policy design, development, and execution, I give a fair here needs improvement. It really needs improvement because, you know, while I think there is definitely some manifest aims in respect of climate change, carbon credit, and education, fiscal front, you know, again, there isn't altogether, though, if it exists, a understanding of an articulation of the strategy in a concrete way. And then you have less so on the immigration front, you have less so on the economy front, on NIB, on local government. So you don't even see crystallizing yet strategies in these areas. So I had to give a even fair needs improvement. That's my assessment there. On law and order, I give a fair. Fair to the extent that we see a escalation in crime. And, you know, it isn't abundantly clear yet at all what the strategy is in combating that, even though we're hearing more from the Commissioner of Police, but that's Commissioner of Police in his tactical and technical role. We're talking about the policy directors. That's who the Davis administration is moving to articulate what is planned and strategize in that direction. So I give them a fair in that way. Listen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langyaho. When we come back, we will continue our assessments, and happy to hear you weigh in on what you think I'm saying. We'll be back after this break. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. I'll look if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 3164 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com. or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance stock. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for a motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
The Water and Sewage Corporation will be hosting the 31st Annual Caribbean Water and Wastewater Association Conference under the theme Recovery and Evolution, Regional Actions for Global Sustainability in Water and Waste Sectors. This will be held October 17th through 21st, 2022 at the Atlantis Resort, Paradise Island. To register, visit the conference website at cwwa.net/cwwa-conference-2022.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers and residents of Westlake Boulevard and Coral Lake Subdivision, inclusive of all side streets, that due to new water main installation, which will commence on Thursday, September 22, 2022, and continue for 8 weeks, customers may experience interruption in water supply between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Also during this time, there will be road closure and detour around the work area. Non-resident motorists are asked to avoid the area as much as possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciate your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take it. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Rolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the first year of the Davis administration and my assessment of things based on a little matrix I developed here. If you want to give us a call, I'm happy to hear from you on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So just to recap on the politics of the year, I give the Davis administration a very good. On the governing overall, I give them a fair, even though, you know, it could be fair to good, depending on what you're looking at. What is true for me is that in the governing, that the Davis administration has a great deal of foundation for really getting much better. Really, really, really. I mean, like, because one of the great things a government wants to do that's new is you don't want to embroil yourself in self-inflicted harm, right? You don't want to embroil yourself in self-inflicted scandals or challenges, right? The Menendez administration had that plague in its first year. Too many stumblings. Self-inflicted stumblings. This wasn't like the opposition found this out or to them. No, this was like you decide to deal and handle the oil people the way you did. You decided to tell people you were going to give yourself a raise. You decided that you were going to talk to the press the way you talk to the press. Those were not induced by others. Those were self-inflicted wounds. And so what happened is in that first year, the deterioration started to kick in when the administration had such an exuberant support. But so given that it hasn't embroiled itself, largely led by the prime minister and the tune he set, there is a great deal of room for now governing, meaning that you've got to now associate your governing activities with the various outcomes and impacts that you seek to have on the society and tie them neatly together, because that's, you know, if in your first year, you can be about the business of, oh, we're doing this and we're doing that and we get... You in your second and third year, it has to be about, we have gotten this done and we are getting more of this done, and that kind of way. And that's about governing execution, right? So on the law and order governing front, we said fair. On the public service governing front, go back. So now we're looking at impact. So this is the question, right? And really, honestly, I'm going to give my assessment, but this is really your assessment that you have to give. A government is acting and behaving. And the idea is that what it does or does not do has a positive impact on the society. That's really the end game. That the society is prospering, that the society is healthy and feels healthy, that the society is being educated, that the society is progressing, that the society is happy, that the society is prospering. That's the aim. That's the effort. That the society feels, wow, this place is orderly. This place is organized. This place is efficient. This place is effective. And I see myself and my children and my family and my friends and neighbors as flourishing in this place because of the effort of our government. The environment feels progressive. The environment feels organized. The environment feels like fluid. It feels like you can get things out. It feels just in this environment. It feels like there's equity in this environment. It feels like people have a chance no matter where you come from in this environment. That's the end game. That's the impact that's sought. Right? So you can be doing things and thinking you are having an impact, but at the end of the day, it's the society. I say the society because it is possible for the society at large to be benefiting and for a single person or a group of people not to benefit. So you can't have anecdotal sometimes. And I mean, you got to speak for yourself, but still you have to take into context that it has to be the broad considerations. Let me give an example. You could live in a community and the whole community is feeling safe, but you could have had a robbery at your home. You could have had an incident at your home. Of course, you don't feel safe in that way and you've been a victim of a crime. But generally speaking, people would say, I live in a safe neighborhood, right? So the impact, how have people, the public generally felt about the government's impact on its well-being? Some people might say, well, when it comes to this, I feel good. When it comes to that, I don't feel so good. Well, you have to take all together, and when you kind of make that assessment, you go, okay, yeah, I think it's good. Impact-wise, I would have to say that impact-wise, I'd have to say fair. Oh, let me go back to something. Impact on the public service, I say fair. On the society at large, when we look at law and order, again, the impact has been fair. I think on the public health, I'd say the impact has been good because of the COVID-19 continuing declining incidences and outcomes. So on the health front, the impact. And I think you can attribute the Davis administration's efforts to that. I really do. That to some of that really can be attributed to their policies and what have you. So on that front, on education, I think that the assessment is good impact, because your schools are now open in person. To some degree, there seems more normalcy there. You have school openings, and it wasn't like some big hullabaloo because of the efficiency there. There is a great deal of background planning, of which I'm aware, going on there. And so on education, I think the society feels better. And so I think the impact has been good there. On the social safety net, I think that the effort has been good, but I think that good is a continuing effort, because there's lots of money being pumped into trying to support and help. It's still a huge challenge, but I think the effort has been good there, in as much as that was started was sustained and in some ways added to. So I think on the social safety net, as a societal impact, that's been good. On the infrastructure, I think needs improvement. I don't see that much going on the infrastructural front that's new to this administration. So there needs to be some effort there, right? So that's my assessment on that. Now, on impact the economy. Now, here's one area where you can really be objective, to the extent that you can look at some numbers. Okay, so let's look at the growth of the economy. When the Minnis administration left office in that fiscal period that they had responsibility, the economy of the Bahamas was in a negative 10.9% contraction. Now, that was the pandemic. So anybody who wants to blame the Minnis administration for that, I don't buy it. I'm not buying it. As an economist, I can't buy it. It was the impact of the pandemic. But now, under that first year, the Davis administration, you see a 23% growth of the economy. How much of that is attributable to the efforts of the Davis administration? I would say at the very best, I'd say 30%.
This is the Guardian.
That's being very generous, right? I think a lot of that was a continuing momentum from the increasing activities in the economy as we continue to turn up things, right? But the numbers are, you were negative 10.9%, you were 23.4% within that period. We're not probably much lower than that, and we're going to head toward single-digit numbers in a little while, but that's that. On the employment front, we have no data. We don't have any data. We have no numbers. We can't go to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute and say they said the unemployment was this, and it's now that. We have no data, but we can deduct from the fact that the economy is ratcheted up, from what we see, that employment is certainly better now than, say, a year ago. I think it's fair to say that, right? Is that attributable to the Davis administration? No, but they're the government. They take credit, right? Reserves were in that last fiscal year of the Minnis administration, $2.3 billion. Today, those reserves are at about $3.3 billion. Again, is that attributable to the Davis administration? Not in the least. Not much, right? It's the continuing increase in touristic activities, investment activities, born of your global liberation of the economies of the world, and the increasing activities being seen. But again, they are presiding over that growth. All right, and so the reserves are better. Now, the thing that they have a direct responsibility for, the fiscal accounts, where is that? We're going to talk about it when we come back from the news break, because here is an area where you can look at what has been done. You could say, okay, did I like that? Did I not like that? Was that a good impact? Was that a bad impact? That's a direct something that you can look at. So, overall, when you're looking at the impact that the Davis administration has had, I would have to say that it's fair to the responses of people reflect that. Now, again, some of that is you're presiding over some things which you didn't sow the seeds of, but hey, that's life. The Minnis administration did it, presided over some things that they didn't sow the seeds of. The Christie administration did it. The Ingram administration did it. That's life. And so I'm not going to get, I'm not going to start parsing too much that somebody says, you know what? Well, things are better under us, even though we may not have had altogether the to do with the better, but they are better under us. If they got worse, you'd be like, oh my God, look how much worse things are. It's because of them, right? So I would say that fair to good has been the impact and perhaps the assessment that many people have made about the governance so far. A large part of that is the tune, the posture, the conduct and behavior of Prime Minister Davis that people are finding. Text says the PLP continues to run a finely oiled PR machine campaign instead of governing. People thank the FNM for leaving the country in a position wherein the PLP does not have to do much at this point, aside ride the wave already set in motion by the Minister administration, whom they demonized and continue to demonize. Okay, you put in your points for the FNM. I don't think it's fair altogether to just say that it's a well-oiled PR machine. It is that. Ain't no question about that. They have a well-oiled PR machine. But governing, I mean, you live in the country, right? They are governing. You live in the country. So you can't, it's just, they're governing, right? If you want to see what not governing looks like, I think there's enough countries in the world you can see it, right? This text says, why isn't the press bombarding and aggressive towards this government like it did the former administration? The press is sold out and the evidence is there. You know what? I'm going to talk to you when we come back from the break, because you're obviously biased. You obviously feel something. But I'm going to have a word for you when we come back from the break, because some of y'all, this lie that you're telling, I'm going to put an end to that when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Producer, I'm supposed to have a call at the beginning, and I need him to call before I go into what I'm doing, because otherwise I won't be able to take the call. So no call on the line yet. No? All right. So we had a caller, a texter say, let me read the text again. The text says, why isn't the press bombarding and aggressive towards like this government, like it did the former administration? The press is sold out and the evidence is there. Okay. So that's obviously a supporter of the former administration who's peeved, ticked off, don't like that they lost. I understand that. I mean, who likes being, right? But you know, one of the characteristics they say of immaturity in youth is a tendency to blame others for your lack of success. So one of the characteristics of immaturity of youthhood is a tendency to blame others for your lack of success. So if we take this person's assessment, the Minnesota administration got a terrible beating because, for whatever reason, because the press wasn't sold out to it, but the press is sold out to this administration. Besides the fact that I know that to be absolutely nonsense, I mean, it's just it shows a lack of willingness to come to terms with the realities that what this person has to settle in their mind is, why, forget the press now, forget the press. Why did all them thousands of Bahamians vote against the Minnesota administration or not vote for it at all? When you settle that question, then you can come back to me about the press. If you think it was the press that made all of those tens of thousands of Bahamians stay at home and not vote, and then vote against the Minnesota administration, you are simply delusional. Simply. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. You all right, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, and thanks.
Okay.
You know, I have an issue with this government, right, administration, that you know, like in the UK, you know, there's a discussion about the policies, the taxation policies, and you know, this new prime minister, and accusing of being of dealing with trickle down economics. So my question to you is, you know, in my statement about this government said that, you know, they did nothing with the taxation that would benefit the poor, as well as they did no housing for the poor. You know, I read an article in, you know, the other day from the IDB, and it says that 21% of Bahamian households cannot afford housing. The cheapest, the lowest price housing corporation or a housing, you know, ministry housing the Bahamas, you know, and things like the minimum wage, the hike in the minimum wage, you know, your school, the university did a study that says that it's $650 per week, thereabout, and they, you know, this government is and says that they will bring it to about a third of it, and they failed to do that. So, you know, I would say to you that
No. So you mean they failed to do it in the 1 year, because they do have 4 years left, right?
Right, and you know, and they need to grow, and that's the excuse. The economy needs to grow, but I say that no matter what the economy, however the economy is, the economy needs to be taxed. You see, so
the economy needs to be taxed. Was that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, in a progressive manner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and another issue, you know, like how?
Wow. Hold on a minute for me. Hold on a minute.
Yeah,
you're saying, bro. I am not gonna let you talk.
Yeah,
I
do
have time constraint. But hold a minute. I'm trying. Because you're going from topic to topic. So you were just talking about doing something for the poor, and you're saying that the government needs to aggressively tax the economy? That's what you said?
So a progressive tax on the economy.
Oh, progressive tax. Okay,
right.
Okay.
The more you make, the more you pay.
Okay, okay.
You know, in other words, and then this thing about the government warning action, carbon credit thing. You know, our government is looking for justice and equality or reparation for the corporations that is responsible, you know, that is responsible for this carbon credit. I mean, this our carbon emissions. But here at home, we, you know what I'm saying, he don't want to do for the poor people that needs help. You know what I'm saying? From the government need reparation because
okay,
of
right. Okay. I gotta go. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay. Listen, man. Someone is texting me, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you, right? You can't text me stuff like that and expect me to read it on there. I'm not doing that. Okay. This is nonsense. I can't do that. This text says, it was a combination of factors, including but not limited to the hurricane disaster and its effects on our economy, and then the COVID pandemic, and then locking down, to say the least, a combination of factors, and somebody needed to pay, so the FNM paid. Okay, well, if that's your assessment of things, it had nothing to do with the way Dr. Minnis spoke to the press. It had nothing to do with the way he spoke to the Bahamian people. It had bunglings that were made. It had nothing to do with his treatment of Travis and his other parliamentary secretaries. It had nothing to do with none of that. It was only about the pandemic, the hurricane, is your assessment. Okay. Okay. Well, I hope then they take that into account, and the next time around, life would be better, if that's the totality of it. Okay. Anyways, let's look at the fiscal accounts. The government has a direct responsibility for these things, right? So you can't blame nobody else for them. The Minnis administration had a big deficit the last time because of the pandemic, et cetera. Yeah, but you're running things now. You get to determine how to spend the money. Yes, you have to meet the debt obligations and other obligations that were there, but so did the Minnis administration. The Minnis administration inherited obligations from the Christie. The Christie one inherited from the Ingram. The Ingram inherited from the Penman. So I don't buy that nonsense. You get to determine. I make hard decisions. That's on you. So let's look at taxation. So let's look at taxes and revenue. Are we paying more taxes now than we were paying when the Minnis administration was in office? Are we paying more taxes now? Volume-wise, yes. Rate-wise, no. No, taxes have gone down rate-wise. Yes, I know that there are taxes now, VAT, on exempted items like some of the food items and stuff like that. But overall, generally speaking, the VAT has gone down. So the rate has gone down, generally speaking. But the collection of taxes is increased. How do I know that? Well, the last year of the Minnis administration, they collected $1.91 billion in revenue. It's taxes and fees. Under the Davis administration, that's been $2.68 billion. So that's not unexpected. The pandemic had a much smaller economy than the Davis administration would have enjoyed in its first year, and not because of its own efforts, but because the economy had already been ratcheting up, okay? But the revenue has performed better, so if you think revenue performing better under an administration is a good thing, then that's a good thing. Expenditure under the Minnis administration last year, $2.9 billion. Under the Davis administration, $2.95 billion. Roughly the same, right? The deficit under the Minnis administration last year, $1.34 billion. Under the Davis administration first year, $758 million. This is an area in which the Davis administration can claim some progress for sure, because naturally, we were going to have a much lower deficit in this last year of the Davis administration, even if not in the Minnis administration, because the pandemic really caused the government some revenue expenditure increase and therefore a wider deficit. But the Minnis administration was forecasting a $951 million deficit. So it did not believe its deficit would be lower than $951 million. The Davis administration, in adjusting the budget, forecasted a lower deficit and actually ended up outperforming even the low forecast that it had. So I think at 658, actually. And so it can claim progress in that area. The debt to GDP ratio was 100% under the Minnis administration, down to 87.5% under the Davis administration. Was that the Davis administration's doing? Absolutely not. Because if you're going to have an expanding economy because your GDP is going up, because your economic transactions are going up, if you are not going to be ratcheting up the debt higher than that increase in the GDP, you're gonna was expected. That was forecasted. Our models forecasted that going lower. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, right? The University of the Bahamas did a recovery and growth, economic growth study for the government, commissioned by the Minnis administration and completed just around election time, right? And our baseline forecast showed that almost all our metrics were going to head in a positive direction under the Minnis administration's fiscal and economic policy trajectory. Okay, I'm telling you what the study showed. So they were all going to head in a positive direction. Now, the extent to which they get to head in a more positive direction, that is something you would have to argue whether or not current policies are doing that versus something else. What has happened to the national debt? In that, now, not the national debt, the government debt. $9.9 billion when the Minnis administration was in office last, the 2020-2021. $10.9 billion under the Davis administration. So it's higher. So if you think a higher national direct government debt is a bad thing, well, then there you have it. So on the fiscal account side, there isn't any, there's a fair story there in that things are trending in the right direction, but there is not an enormous story there to say that it's heading in a direction born strictly of government effort, even though if the government takes credit for it, I can't blame it. Can't blame it. So overall, overall first year, fair. Some ways, good. Overall. Grand, great? No, not to my mind. You know, is this, I've heard some, right? Great, fantastic, etc. I don't do that. I don't see that in the governance in the first year. I don't see that. But fair to good, I'm on board with that. Okay? Now, how you take that and whether you like that or not, as I said at the beginning, if you're an FNM, you love your party, you ain't want to hear that. If you're a PLP and you love your party, you don't mind hearing that, you may even want to hear better. I can't do anything about that. I'm just one man. It's just my view. I try to make it reasonable, but it's just my view. I'm happy to hear yours and what you think. Say, I guess you didn't understand the phrase not limited to. So you are trying to insult my intelligence is what you're trying to do? That's what you're trying to do, insult my intelligence? Okay. I didn't understand the phrase not limited to. I'm so sorry. Maybe next time I'll read it more carefully. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Hey, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Just let me know that you're not alone. I'll look if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
After
of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, Sunday, October 2nd, at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including Parenting on Purpose, raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's the Cleft of the Rock Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. For more information and to sign up, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home, or the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We've been talking about the Progressive Liberal Party's first year in office under the Davis administration, kind of assessing what they did. Let me say something that might further tick some people off, but since we're in that business now, so no problem. I really believe that the Davis administration's political fortunes have benefited from a less than potent opposition targeting it. This administration had some issues that could have been more capitalized upon politically than in fact actually ended up happening. When Prime Minister Davis talked about a $1 billion being unaccounted for, I mean, that's a huge something for a prime minister and minister of finance to say. And to not rigorously have that prime minister and the minister of finance held accountable for that, that should not have been let go in that way. It should not have been. It should have been repeated. It should still be repeatedly called out because it's a serious thing. $1 billion? That's like 10% of the total national government debt. $1 billion? Unaccounted for? With no proof? You know, so I think that's an example of where there isn't that level of attack in order to keep a government honest. When it approached the food feeding program in the manner in which it did, that too could warrant could have warranted much more, I think, in my mind, aggressive accountability, because it's a serious thing to have done to those NGOs what was done. I think that the government's budget, the first budget it fully produced, gave good cause for some critiquing, because on the one hand, it represented no fundamental departure policy-wise than had been previous. So what was the change about? You could ask, right? And then you had, you know, an increase in expenditure. You had a government that was complaining about borrowing and complaining about the way the Minister administration was behaving, that essentially was behaving in the same manner. So I think that some of the enthusiasm and about the Davis administration, a lot of which is based on Prime Minister Davis's personality. But of course, you know, y'all remember, y'all criticized me, some people, for saying, as I said, that he's quite an affable guy. And in politics, likability matters a whole lot for your politics. But that becomes the basis then on which you have to start to erode that likability, not merely by attacking the person, but attacking what the person is saying or doing that might be inconsistent with the needs and aspirations of the public and the country, right? And so I just think that if we're assessing the 1 year of the government and looking at the 1 year of the opposition, I'd have to say the opposition is in a fair to maybe needing to improve scenario, because the potency there, the impact there, in terms of the impressions being made on the public, still has room to grow. Opposition has talent and has a leader who's articulate and capable of being quite direct and aggressive, but might have made a determination that a more cordial approach is what is best as a calculation. In the politics of the Bahamas, the jury will be out on that. But I think that the Davis administration is benefiting from that. And you can tell that Prime Minister Davis, in particular, but his team in general, they have a what you call that when people walking around, a swag. Yeah, they have a swag. They don't feel threatened or intimidated. They do not. And so in the year, they have had the benefit of being able to move about with that swag. When the Minister administration came in, I would say that they didn't have a real aggressive challenge either, you know, from Davis. Davis was not, you know, he was not a Bradley Roberts with Ingram or anybody like that. But as the Minister administration stumbled, then they got to capitalize on the stumbling. And, and over time, you know, in politics, life can be a slow boil. You're that frog in the water and the temperature is just rising ever so slowly in the neck. And then before you know it, you're boiling and you're dead, right? And so I think that there has been there's room for growth and improvement on the opposition side. And that, you know, you have to be in opposition. You have to pay close attention to the temperature of the public and relate to the public. The concerns you express have to be the concerns of the public, and they have to be expressed in a way that the public hears their own concern being expressed. See, you can, like, the public could be concerned about something and you could raise it but you could raise it in a technical sense that doesn't connect to the language of the public. The public wants to get in the houses, right? They want to get in houses. They want to be in houses, man. They want, listen, I need to be able to get in a house with my children. That ain't the same as, you know, y'all ain't doing this kind of thing with the houses or the land and that kind of stuff. They might not connect to it that way. And so an opposition has to make connections. That's the most important thing. The people have to see themselves in the language and behavior and conduct of the opposition. They have to see their needs and aspirations being identified and echoed in the messaging of the opposition. That's the first thing. Sense that these people who can so accurately describe my problem, I also see the capacity to do something about it. That's the second tier of your oppositioning, right? The sense that, okay, you know what's wrong with me. You know my blood pressure up. You know my knee hurting. But I also get the sense you know something about reducing blood pressure and easing the pain in the knee too. And so you have to be able to do that. You know, if you wait, my suspicion is based on the first year, if the opposition waits for Prime Minister Davis to stumble, I think it could be a long day. Because he doesn't seem to show that capacity. He seems to be a much more deliberate, careful soul in his politics. Now, the people around him might not be that, but even around him, I don't see them stumbling in ways that causing the government any problems, which is, to their young credit, quite a leader. So you have to, instead of waiting for waves, you have to make waves in opposition, it would seem. You have to, and that really means a tapping into the deepest uncertainties, anxieties, fears, aspirations, and needs of the population. Because while people may not feel badly about Prime Minister Davis, the question is, do they really feel exuberant about him? That's not the same thing. Not feeling bad about somebody isn't the same as feeling good about somebody. And if people don't feel bad about you, but don't feel good about you, maybe there's an opportunity for them to feel good about somebody else. I don't think they feel badly about the opposition in terms of Michael Pintard's leadership. But the question is, do they feel good about him? So there's the opportunity right there. And so their first year, fair to needing improvement, fair to good. So to my mind and the assessment, there's an edge there, but there are opportunities on both sides. So we'll have to see how that continues to play out. Anyways, enough of that. I was looking at a recent notice that says the government is considering reducing the mask mandate, such that really only in specialized circumstances will a mask be required. And I have to tell you, I mean, you all don't have to believe me, but that's just true. I thought today, I was going to say it on the show today, I was going to say, you know what, if the government removed the mask mandate, I would not feel put off by that at all. Because I really think that generally speaking, the threat that is out there from the COVID-19 is significantly diminished. Significantly, I'm not saying gone altogether. And I think that people are about, and yes, some people can still get sick, but I think that it shouldn't be long now before the global pandemic announcement of end is going to come. I believe that the CDC and them will, I mean, WHO will soon make that announcement. And I never been about this global conspiracy theory And I'm sorry. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of listening to folk. And I'm no expert. So just because you do a lot of reading and you do a lot of watching and listening, that doesn't convince me that you have the right perspective on things. I listen, I hear the perspective, but that don't give me no courage that I should listen to you above people whose business this is, whose life it is, things, the virologists and them. And because a piece of, so because somebody who is a scientist says X, Y, and Z, that is not a reason to believe that X, Y, and Z is true. Not because a scientist. What we tend to do in the research community, in the scholarly community, is we look at the peer-reviewed considerations of the scientist, right? That's different. That's like Zhivago line coming out and saying something about economics. You could believe that because you may have some trust in Zhivago, but that wouldn't be sufficient in a scholarly context. They would like to have what Zhivago line has said, especially if it's supposed to be a scholarly academic something, to be assessed by other experts, particularly in that field of economics, reviewing what he has said and collectively determining, yes, these results are replicable, this logic is sound, and so forth and so forth. That's different. That's different document and reading this one, especially people who, listen, man, my son, I was asking one day, you know, if he could do a job right now. I had to do a job to make money, but he'd do. And he ran off with car washing and security guard. And when I finished asking him about those jobs, he conceded. You know what? I never realized that you had to know much more and have to develop much better skills to be able to do those jobs. That's the same thing that people who do not have discipline in scholarship and research don't realize. It is a craft. A PhD is a professional scholar. And there, and the demands and requirements of professional scholarship are not the same as searching the internet. It's not. I'm sorry. You can get information for sure. And you have the right to assess information for your own purposes. But when you start promulgating that across the air and this kind of way without regard to the totality of the situation, just enough information to get yourself and everybody else in trouble if people listen to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone.
ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers and residents residing in the area of Westlake Boulevard and Coral Lake Subdivision, inclusive of all side streets, that due to new water main installation, which will commence on Thursday, September 22, 2022, and continue for 8 weeks, customers may experience interruption in water supply. There will be road closure and detour around the work area. Non-resident motorists are asked to avoid the area as much as possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciate your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car. Pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever, you're not alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. Someone says, great show as usual. I think removing the mask is a bad idea because just because government's ignoring COVID doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's just my two cents. Okay. But the fact that governments, I don't know the governments are ignoring it, but I think it is useful to see that. Like, take the United States as an example. Bro, listen to me. They ain't wearing no mask like that over there. But COVID-19 isn't out of control, though. Right? You have to take some of that into account. Right? So, you know, I hear you. But I think, I don't know. I don't think it would be a big mistake. Mitchell has been a potent and aggressive voice in the government. It has contributed to Mr. Davis's success. Okay. Got you. Hear you on that. Well, you know, that's why I tell you on the politics of things, the PLP has been very good. Now, Mr. Mitchell is consistent, putting his message out there, consistent. I mean, and you know, and if you listen to how he puts the message out, he just puts it out there, right? Has there been a counter to that? No, on the Free National Movement's side, no, there hasn't been. Okay, you know, one of the things that's true is life is consistency. Consistency matters, right? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. Be listening to you.
Shivago Lang, how you doing, Seattle Johnson?
Hey, Seattle, how you doing?
Yeah, I call because I think the Google research pundits experts requires for you to emphasize. Because the reason I say that is that, you know, I often in my classes teach that information only when comprehended becomes knowledge. Knowledge only when properly executed is wisdom. And so the fact is I oftentimes see people enter the debate or even look at the economy as you speak often. They could have done this, they could have done that. and even these new uprising political leaders, leading political parties and otherwise, always says, I would do this, I would do this, I would do that. They could have done this, and they would do this, and I'd make everybody rich, happy, sit at home, put the foot up on the chair, bring in import labor so they could just do whatever they want to do and have no data, no information to substantiate their position, thinking that you just simply, you know, copy and paste an idea from the internet and don't understand that every aspect, for instance, we have spoken about 14 different economic models in the Bahamas over the last five, six, maybe like more like eight years. Data economy, green, blue, orange, aquamarine, platform, circular, silver, knowledge, digital. One of those requires detailed research. Like, for instance, the College of the Bahamas has one where they say colleges transfer information, universities create information. So I think if we could get our people to understand a more intentful intellectual discourse, we can actually tackle a lot of the minor problems that faces us as opposed to just brushing over from a curiosity thing.
You're absolutely right. One of the things we can't do with the information is egotistical. Like the information isn't there to serve your opinion. The information is there to reveal what is, right? And so a lot of times the best approach to information session is, let me find some things that prove me wrong.
Yeah, that's what I said to people. I said to people all the time, I said, I enjoy, people may not have a statement, and people challenge me, challenge my thinking. And it causes me to rethink and not dismiss them, but to actually take a deliberate analysis of saying, I wonder if what they're saying would fit into what I've thought. And people don't understand that from an intellectual standpoint, is we want to be paired with you and we want to be challenged with what we think, because it will help reinforce or cause us to not necessarily change our mind, but to enhance or amend a absolute may have been.
And the challenge is not merely stating your contrary opinion, right? Because we can have that all day, I think all of us, especially when you're younger, participate in that. But the challenge is, C. Allen says it was 10 BTUs. And then you go and you found several pieces of information that said, no, in fact, it was 15 BTUs.
Yeah.
And so you say to C. Allen, listen, I got three sources here that says it was 15, not 10 BTUs. Now you are challenged to go and update your information.
Yes, right. And I tell people everything and challenge me. And I tell people I have learned so much in those challenges, because so many times they provided information that I did not necessarily have or didn't even necessarily consider.
Yeah. Even on this show where people have critiqued my style of this or style of that, you might not at the time even like it or respond appropriately to it, but it changes you. It makes you rethink the way you do things.
You know, when people come to me, and a lot of people come to me and say, do you hear what survival line said? And they go, yeah. I said, he's right. I mean, from I can understand why he came to that conclusion. I said, so what is your problem? And I said, I think you have a problem in the way he said it, not the fact that what he said.
Sure, and that could be true, and that's why we have a responsibility to try to make sure that our manners doesn't get in the way of our message. That's for sure.
Right, and I just told him, I said, learn lang. If you're going to listen to every single talk show, that's going to be your thing. Learn the nuances of the speech of each person so you could know they're not shouting at you. Jesus, that's how they communicate, not an attack. Mm-hmm. I said, trust me, when Chivago Lang screams at you, I watch him in Parliament, you'll know.
I'm retiring from screaming now.
Okay, no, that's what I'm telling them. I told them, you trust me. Like I said, like how you said you've been on the air for a couple of years now. I said, he hasn't screamed yet. Trust me. I said, some people pissed him off, and the speaker almost have to get up on his feet and say, hey, hold up there.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for calling in. All right. We have a text that says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. I listen to your show and you give a lot of good information, very intelligent. You shouldn't run for prime minister one day, sir." I'm trying to keep stress over my life, man, not add to it. this text says, "Politics is a strange thing. Where is, where, where, where you can do a million great things before election, but 6 months before elections, you do one wrong thing to piss the people off. That's true. You're like what Janet Jackson say, what have you done for me lately? Anyways, there's 4 more years scheduled to go. I say scheduled because the government doesn't have to go 4 years. It could decide to check to cash in earlier for the 4 more years. And, you know, the old people say there's a lot of slip between the cup and the lip. You might be riding the wave today. No pun intended, Prime Minister Brave. You've been riding the wave today, and then tomorrow, boom, shakalaka, you have a tidal wave before you. And you might be on a lull right now, and then all of a sudden, boom, something happens and you're in a high. So you have to be careful to try to manage, to control the things you can control. And this is one of the things politicians have to learn, as all of us in life have to learn. You control the things you can control. You can't control other people, can't control other people's attitudes. You can only control your own thoughts, your own behavior, your own actions, your own policies, your own projects and so forth and so on. Fall at the mercy of the judgment of the people, and that's their judgment to make. And they could get it right, they could get it wrong, but it is always their judgment to make, right? On the opposition and on the government. When you get ticked off with people because they feel a way about you, you are demonstrating that you are resisting reality. And he who resists reality will always be frustrated. See, that's what frustration is. Frustration is, I want it this way, but it is this way. And I have not the power to make it the way I want it. That's frustration. You only relax when you say, it is that way. And while I would like it to be this way, I have not the power to make it that way. So therefore, I accept reality for what it is. And now let me focus my attention on that which I can. When you see us get offensive, when you see us start getting agitated, and when we want row and blame people and all that is frustration with being unwilling to accept the things you cannot change instead of focusing on the things you can and having the wisdom to know the difference. And if you're not wise enough to know some things you can't change, let me tell you one thing you can't change. One thing you can't control is nobody else's choice. You could influence it, but you can't control it. You can't make nobody vote for you the way you want them to vote for you. You could try to influence it by doing right and wrong things. But at the end of the day, when they go in there, you can't make them vote no way. And that's life. And you live with it. You live with it. It's one of the great ambitions of my life. Live with the things I can't change. And when I say live with it, I mean have a great attitude toward it. Grief and sorrow and stress. Because it is what it is. Right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy you could join us today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Don't forget, next week, we're going to begin a successful schooling series. Great, great start to the series. We're going to speak with the Minister of Education on a team from education. So stay tuned. And then from there, we're going to hear from lots of experts giving good advice, guidance on how to succeed in your schooling enterprise. Y'all have a great evening. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
This is Guardian.